Today's share is Masech to Baba Basra, Daf Samachay. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Dal Ramabez, the last words of the Yomid. Itmar, Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. As we've been discussing in our Shurim, we have a very fundamental machloikis of Moicha B'ayin Ra Moicher, or Moicha B'ayin Yafa Moicher. When somebody sells something, how does the halacha look at the situation? Is it b'ayin ra, b'ayin yafa? Rabbi Kiva says, b'ayin yafa, chacham hol b'ayin ra. The Gemara teaches us now that the halacha is like the chachamim, that moicha b'ayin ra ha moicha. Says the Gemara, b'yimri b'abba am Shmuel, b'yimri b'abba says in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha actually is Rabbi Kiva, that moicha Bain Yafu Moicha. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Yirmi Yirmi Ba'abal Rav Huna, Vazimnan Sagin Amrita Kamri Rav. He asked Rav Huna, how do you say that the halacha is like the Chachamim? Haven't you said many times, Hilchas Rabbi Kiva, that the halacha is, I said in front of Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, V'loy Amalei Midi, and he didn't say anything. So isn't that obvious? The Rav agrees that the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. Amalei, to which Rav Huna responded to Rabbi Yirmiya, Hechet in the Suah, how did you learn this machlokes? What is everybody's opinion? So Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, Ipchatanina. I said it the reversed way, that Rabbi Kiva's opinion is Moicha bein Ram Moicha, and Rabbi Chachamim's opinion is Moichin bein Yofa Moicha. So he said, so Rav Huna said to him, now you understand, Mishum Hachi Amalach V'Lamidi. That's why he didn't say anything to you. Because according to your understanding, that Rabbi Kiva is the one that holds Moichem Bein Ram Moicher, which is exactly the way I hold the Halach is. So that's why, and that's what I say, and that's what I am reporting, is the way Rav holds. So if that's the case, it's understandable when you said that Moicha bein Ram Moicha, because that's what you hold is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, everything works perfectly. Of course, the Rashbam points out that it's not that he knew, that Rav Yirmiya knew, that he and Rav Huna have different opinions of what Rabbi Kiva holds and what the Chacham hold. Because were that to be the case, then this whole Gemara really wouldn't make sense. What happened was Rav Yirmiya was not aware that he and Rav Huna had different ways of reporting what Rabbi Kiva held and what the Chacham held. Then for he said the halachas like Rabbi Kiva, and Rav Huna said the halachas like the Chachamim, which on first glance seems to be contradictory. And then they realized that actually there was no machlokes here at all. They were both actually reporting that the halach is Moicha bein Rahu Moicha. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Rinal Ravashi, let's suggest that this machloikis is that Rav holds, that the halach is Moicha bein Ram Moicha, and Shmuel's opinion is that Moicha bein Yofa Moicha is Azlu Tamayu, is a machloikis that we found elsewhere. Darav Nachman Shmuel. Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, we have a situation, ha'achas shechalku, if brothers divide a property that the father left for them, one took, and the way they divided the property that we're going to be discussing is where there's two properties. One is the inner property, pnimi, and one is the outer property, which is the chitzin. So, the halacha is, ein lahem derech selzeh. The person in the inner property cannot walk through the outer property to get into his inner property, even though that was the way his father always obviously was able, their father was always obviously able to get into the inner property, because the Gemara is suggesting the halacha of brothers who divide an estate is to be viewed like they're buyers. I'm buying your share in that property. Again, in our case, with the Pnimi and the Chitzin, and we'll learn that they're two brothers So one brother is giving up his shear in the pnimi, and one is giving up his shear in the chitzin. So if we say moicher be'en yofer moicher, so when the pnimi gave up his shear in the chitzin, when he, to his other brother, he gave it up entirely. Giving it up entirely means that his brother will not be able to walk through, that he will no longer be able to walk through that property. And that pshat, moicher be'en yofer, that's why, and the reason is because moicher be'en yofer moicher. So there are two questions, the two primary questions that the Rishonim ask. If I am the brother that's going to get the pnimi, and because I gave up my share in the chitzin, and because we say moicher be'en yofer moicher, I'm left with no way of how to get into my property. If that's the case, why can I not, at this point, claim a mekach tos? If I get a property where there's no way for me to be able to get into my property, if the property I'm going to end up with is a property that I have no way of getting into my property, so what kind of property is that? And shouldn't that be considered a mekach tos, that I should say that this entire transaction is invalid? So as we've learned in the previous year, the Yad Ramah says that there is an advantage of owning a property that is inaccessible. And the advantage of owning a property that's inaccessible is because of the halacha of Din of the Bar Metzra. And I do accomplish, at least, that I am not a Bar Metzra on this property, and if a neighbor were to sell the property, I have first rights to that. The Rishash, we quoted this Rishash in our previous year as well, is of the opinion that even though I don't have a right, a full-fledged right to enter my property because Moicher, Bein Yofer Moicher, and I gave up all of my rights to that property, the Rishash says that I have certainly a right to get to my property, but I don't get a regular path, which is Dalar Amis, I'll only get a narrow path. And when the Gemara in our previous year says that the person says to me, well, if you want to get to your property, fly through the air to get there, it didn't mean fly through the air, and you have absolutely no way to get to your property. What was meant was that you won't have an easy way to get to the property. What it does, however, mean that you will have a narrow, somewhat, and maybe not necessarily most convenient path how to get to your property. Another pshat that the Chiddushim of Biurim suggest is that when we learn Moicher Bein Yofer Hu Moicher, and I don't have an access to this inner property, what it means is that I have to buy a path. And what the Gemara means to say, the one who holds Moicher Bein Yofer Moicher says, that the deal is contingent on you being willing to sell me a path to get to my property. But if indeed what's going to happen is that you're not going to be willing to give me a path to my property, then the halacha will be that, of course, it's a mekach tos. What's the point of having a property which is inaccessible? But the question that many, many Rishonim ask when we learn this Gemara is a different question altogether. We're learning Moicher Bein Yofer Moicher, and therefore the person who got the pnimi gave away the chitzin in a generous fashion, not leaving himself a way to get to the pnimi. But as we began, we're speaking here about two brothers. And each brother is, if one is Moicher Bein Yofer, then the other one is being Moicher Bein Yofer. If the other one is also being Moicher Bein Yofer, so that means he gives up, as he's going to be nice to his brother. So why are we focused on the Moicher Bein Yofer from the brothers, from the inner brother's perspective? Why don't we look at it from the other brother's perspective, and that he certainly only gave up, he's only taking the chitzin in a way that his inner brother should be able to get there? So Rashbam says, we can't call, when we speak about the chitzin, the issue of Ein Yofa and Ein Ra is not applicable to the brother who has the chitzin. because he obviously has access to his property. And as far as therefore he's not considered as a person, says the Rashbam. He's only considered a buyer. He's not considered a seller, and because the Pnimi sold him the Pnimi's entire right to the Chitzin. When we speak about Moicha Ben Yofa Moicha, Moicha Ben Ram Moicha, we only speak about it, as the words say, about a Moicha. Here we're not talking about a Moicha. Here we're talking about that as far as this issue is concerned, the person who's getting the Chitzin is only a Lekeach, not a Moicha. Other Rishonim say that here we have, obviously, a conflict. If we say, we take it from the perspective of the Pnimi, he won't have a path to get into his property. If we take it from the perspective of the Chitzin, he will have an opportunity to get to his property. So there is Rishonim that suggests that when we have such a situation, the two interests, this conflict, cancel each other out. And what happens, because they cancel each other out, everybody remains with his property. Many Rishonim don't like this teretz. They say that, first of all, where does it say that they cancel each other out? Where does such a concept come from? Furthermore, they say, if that's the pshat in this Gemara, because our two interests, so to speak, conflict and cancel each other out, then the halacha ought to be, they say, Then this has nothing to do with Moicha Ben Yofa Moicha, Moicha Ben Ram Moicha. But our entire Gemara is trying to focus on the Moicha Ben Yofa Moicha or Ben Ram Moicha. According to this pshat, it has nothing to do with that. Another pshat that I saw is that the focus of this Gemara is indeed if they were ready loichen, if they were ready regular people who buy from each other, so then the Gemara indeed would have this concept that the Pnimi is a Moicha Ben Yofa and the Moicha is Ben Yofa. But this whole Gemara is not your regular situation of people buying one from the other. Rather, the case of our Gemara is about two brothers who are dividing a Yerusha. So even though the Gemara is comparing the halacha is a Moicha Ben Yofa, a Moicha Ben Ra, to the case of Achan Shechalku, it's not a perfect comparison. Meaning that what the Gemara means to say is that when each one of them gives up his share, when two brothers are dividing Yerusha, each one, if we want to apply the concept, a Moicha Ben Yofa, a Moicha Ben Ra, means that I give it up completely. I, the Pnimi, give up my share completely in the Chitzin, and the Chitzin gives up his share completely in the Pnimi. And that's an extension of the halacha of Moicha Ben Yofa Moicha, and that's a proof that we hold Moicha Ben Yofa Moicha. Similar, Loi Sumas Zebezeh. Again, where they divided a home that one had, that had two floors, a lower floor and an upper floor. And usually there's a ladder, the way the halacha discusses, that the person who owns the upper apartment is able to reach his apartment by going up a ladder. And therefore, the halacha is that even though the father, when he owned this home, had a ladder how to get up to his apartment, here the halacha is that they won't have that, the brother who gives up his right to the brother who gets the upper apartment gave up his right to the bottom apartment, and in that case, he won't be able to get up to his apartment. The other Rishonim have a different explanation, that Elam Slum Selzeh means that the question with this pshat, however, is why is this any different than the halacha that we learned a moment ago? So, some Rishonim suggest the answer to that question is because a ladder is something that's there all the time. Who own the Pnimi, walking through the Chitzoin, is something that happens when I have to get there. But when I'm not going there, I'm not there. But when we talk about ladders, the ladders are there all the time. And therefore, the Bryce is teaching us that both ladders, which are there all the time, or walking through all the time, both of them are situations where I have a right that I don't have that. Not windows. And Rashi explains that the definition is that if I got one home in this property and you got another home in this property and your property extends up to my home, you could put up a wall even though you're going to be blocking the windows of my home. The other pshat that some Rishonim suggest is not that just that you could put up a wall to block my window and I could say nothing if you're putting up the wall on your property. But they say that if till now this is one property, it was all our father's property. So obviously there was no concern of Hezekiah and a property that belongs to one person. Now, because you got a portion and I have a portion and my windows open up to your area, so we have now the concept that we've discussed so many times in this Masechta of Hezekiah. Now you could say that there's a Hezekiah and you have to close up your window. Another pshat, a variation of this pshat that Tosfos suggests in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, is that the case here is where I was always able to look out from my window, the person was always able to look out from his window and see his property. And you could say to me, you don't have a right to look at that property anymore because part of that property is mine. One cannot have water canal pass through the other person's property, pass through the other property to have water that he should have to irrigate his field. And he concluded, Vizharubahen, be very careful with these halacha, shalachas kavusain. The way I saw the Rishonim explain halachas kavusain doesn't mean that it's usually in Shas, when the Gemara says the word halacha kavusain, what it means to say is that it's the halacha, and not only does it mean that it's halacha, but it's so firm that that's the halacha, it should be treated like halacha Moshe Sinai. Rav Amma, Rav says, Yesh lehem. So we see that, presumably, what is the reason for Rav? Because Rav holds Moicher Bein Ram Moicher. And Shmuel, and so we have Shmuel that says, like a Rekiv Moicher Bein Yofa Moicher, will say that that's why the halacha is like we learned in the first place, in the first part of this halacha. So we see that this question of Moicher Bein Yofa Moicher, Moicher Bein Ram Moicher, is a machlokes that Rav and Shmuel have had other places, says the Gemara. If that's the case, why was it necessary to repeat this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which is already well known? Answer Rav Tzricha. The Ashmin Bahi, if we only had the machlokes taught to us by the case that we just learned of Achim Shechalku, we would say by he come Rav. In that case, Rav holds Moicher Bein Ram Moicher. Shem D'Amalei, Bein Elameida B'Keich D'Dara B'Avasei. There's a new element that's included here. And that's the brothers are saying, this brother is saying, I want to be able to use this property that I inherited from my father the way my father used the property. And my father had all these rights. The Teda, where do we see that this is a legitimate consideration? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Tachas avasecho yibanecho. A son takes over his father's position. Avabaha, in a regular case of two people making a sale, maybe over there, Eme Maidele Lishmuel, that the halacha is actually Moicher Bein Yofa Moicher. On the other hand, I itma baha, if we only had the machloikis in a case of Mechira, b'hach kam Shmuel, that's where Shmuel says Moicher Bein Yofa Moicher. Ava baha, when we speak about brothers who are dividing an estate, Eme Maidele Lerav, there maybe we say that maybe Shmuel does agree to the concept that I want to be able to use this property the way my father used the property. And therefore, in that case, Eimei Moed Leil Rav, that's why it's Shricha. It says the Gemara,
Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Hilchus Kavasen, Hilchus Kavasayu. Is the halacha like us, the Moich ben Yofa Moicha, or the halacha, like you said, the Moich ben Rav Moicha? Amalei, Hilchus Kavasayu, your, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, the Mekriva Lubava, the Resh Galusa, you were frequent at the home of the Nasi, Resh Galusa, because you, Rav Nachman, were the son-in-law of the Resh Galusa, and part of the responsibility of a Resh Galusa is to rule on cases, and therefore, the Shchichet Dayani, you were much more familiar with different Piskei Halacha, and you hearing, you saying that that's what you heard that people were doing, that the Rabbanim were paskening, that Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher must be a more reliable report. And this is, again, a proof to a concept that is often stated in Halacha, that when we have a question in Halacha, the one who's paskening a question, Halacha Lamaisa, is a more reliable way of knowing what is the Halacha. Here the Gemara introduced the concept that a son takes over father's position. And the Cheshukei Chemed has an interesting discussion around this. The Cheshukei Chemed discusses a shaila where there is a son who is the president of the shul, and the president of the shul has a special seat designated for the president of the shul, but there's also a seat that is the seat on which his father sat in shul. And the question is, which seat is the seat that he should take? So in general, there's a question. We know that the halacha is that a son is not a sit, may not sit in the father's seat. So one could maybe suggest that in general, without this question, the son should not be sitting in the father's seat because it's a lack of kibud avim. But I saw that the Paiskim suggest that, some suggest that, on the contrary, a son taking over the father's seat after the father is nifter shows tremendous derech eretz to the father, and it gives the father much hanah, much pleasure in the Olam Emes, based on the Gemara that we just learned, that tachas avasecha yeh benecha, that your son is taking over the father's seat. And that's why, certainly, the Paiskim say that one could sit on his father's seat after his father is nifter. So now, Rabbi Yoshua saw Paskim that it's considered a covet for the father that the son is sitting in the seat. I did see that the child's Jewish B'tzela Chochma, Chelek Gimel, Simon Tzadik Hei, says that no, even after a father passes away, the son should not sit in the father's seat. So we see, so now we come back to the question, where should this person sit? So you sit in the seat designated for the Rosh HaKol, for the president of the shul, which he is, or should he sit on the seat that is the father's seat, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yoshev, that represents the greater kavod for the father? So the Cheshukei Chemed, Rav Zilberstein Shlita, suggests that why does a president get that seat? So I always assumed that the reason the president gets that seat is because of kavod to the president, that we give him such a seat. He suggests that that's not the reason the president gets that seat. When a president or a rav is sitting up front facing the tzibur, what that causes is that the people who are in the shul daven with much greater respect. There's a more decorum in the shul. So therefore he says, what's the biggest kavod a son could do for a father? The biggest kavod that a son could do for a father is that he should be the reason that the tefillah in the shul should be conducted in such a respectful manner. And therefore he says that the son should sit in the seat of the Rosh HaKol. That will be a schus for the father. Etmar, continues the Gemara, Shnei Batim Zelfnim, is that our story that we've been speaking about, the two homes, one inside in the other. Shneim b'mecher, if one they were sold to each other, or shneim b'matana, the halacha is ein lehem derech zelzeh. The person who gets the pnimi cannot walk in through the outer property because we say meicher bein yafim meicher. Koshkein, certainly in a case if the chitzen was given matana and pnimi me'echer, why? And the Gemara explains chitzen me'echer and pnimi matana. And what if the outer property? Because when slow, if the outer property, if the inner outer property was given in a gift, so even if we're going to have and if we are having a discussion of meicher bein yafim meicher or meicher bein ram meicher. Everybody agrees that a matana is given bein yofa. So if the pnimi gave up his share b'matana, he certainly gave it up in a generous fashion. And since he certainly gave it up in a generous fashion, he did not leave for himself a way to get to the pnimi. But on the other hand, the meicher is not necessarily meicher bein yofa meicher. What about a chitza b'mecher? If the adder was b'mecher, the pnimi was b'matana. Sovimine, they thought that in such a situation, the pnimi cannot go into his property because since he was sold by yafu meicher v'lohi milay tanan. We're going to learn on daf ayin aleph the medva mamurim the meicher. There is a conversation of meicher ben ram meicher ben yafa ava meis matana noisnus kulam. Everybody agrees that meicher ben yofa meicher. Alma, man de yov matana ben yofa meicher. Achnami, man de yov matana ben yofa neifer. He gives it with ein yofa. And therefore, even if we hold that meicher ben ra, but somebody who gets a gift gives it ben yofa. And therefore, if the chitzen gave the pnimi his property as a gift, he certainly left him a way to get there. So Agamar has now taught us the difference between a meicher, where, as we're learning in our sugyas, there's a machloikis of meicher bein yofa meicher, meicher bein ram meicher, versus a matana, where everybody agrees that nois matana bein yofa hu noisin. The Mefarshim explain why is there a difference between a meicher and a matana. That by meicher we say meicher bein yofa, and here we say we don't say that. So Mefarshim explain, a meicher, as we often discuss, somebody who sells a property, it sells the property under duress. He doesn't really want to sell. He sells because he has to. If that's the case, there's a easily understood that meicher bein ram meicher. He only sells the minimum that he wants to sell. A matana is given because voluntarily. I wanted to give you a matana. In the case of matana, which I'm giving voluntarily, so there certainly it's given generously. So I saw that Rav Alter von Slobodka in the Sefer Chochmas HaMatzpon says that's how we're supposed to view the difference between when somebody sells us something or gives us something versus when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something. When one person, even if he gives something to somebody else, even if he gives a gift to somebody else, and even if we're saying that somebody gives a gift, it's bein yofa, usually when people give something to somebody else, there's a reason for it. It's like Chazal call it, ahava tluya bedover. There's some sort of consideration why I'm giving the gift. And therefore, it's not necessarily bein yofa. Even though we're saying, nois matana bein yofa, we can't, however, he said, in any way speak about the matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us. So certainly any gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is something that he gives just in the most generous manner. And therefore, we can always have greater feeling of gratitude to the matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, where there's no question that it's given bein yofa, where it's given in the most generous fashion. The pasuk says, the Bnei Yisoscha asks a question. The word lekach means a transaction, lekach, to buy. The word nosati means a gift. So this pasuk ki lekach toiv nasati lachem seems to be self-contradictory. Is it a lekach? Is it a transaction? Or is it nosati? So B'nai Yisoscha explains that we actually receive the Torah, that pasuk is receiving, is referring to the Torah, is because we worked for the Torah. We were in Golos Mitzrayim. So, truthfully, the relationship to Torah should be maybe viewed as a mecher. Does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he says that even though it could be treated as a mecher, and Al Gemara is teaching us that when we speak about a mecher, there could be a conversation, is it Bein Yofa, is it Bein Ra? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give it to you Bein Yofa. I will treat it as a matana, and therefore you should view that the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us should be viewed as if we received it as a matana completely Bein Yofa. The Padash Yosef quotes the Gra. The Avram Avinu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, told him he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael, asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'ma Eda Kerishana. Very difficult pasuk. Avram Avinu, the Rosh Shemaminim, Avram Avinu, the first one who showed belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, B'ma Eda Kerishana, how do I know I'm going to get this land? So the Gra explains a tzaddik, when he gets, so when he's Baruch Hashem, the recipient of good, could look at it that he's getting it either as a reward for his mitzvah, or he could get it for a schar, or matnas chinam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him without any strings attached. If he's getting it as schar, then chas v'shalom, if he does an aveira, then he will lose that schar. If, on the other hand, he's getting it as a matnas chinam, he'll keep it under all circumstances, because at noisen, somebody gives a gift, bein yofa hu noisen. So now, what happened here was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael, but he said, and Avram Avinu recognized that this was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he speaks to Avram Avinu before Avram Avinu said, B'ma Eda Kirishenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani Hashem Asher Tzisicham Kazdim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here mentioned that Avram Avinu had jumped into the fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now Avram Avinu became concerned. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a reward for this tremendous Kiddush Hashem of jumping into the fire, so it's a reward. If it's a reward, there's the concern that he could lose the reward. And that's what Avram Avinu asked. But Ma Eda, how could I know that I'm going to keep it under all circumstances and it's not contingent on it just being a reward? What I want to know, Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that ki erishena, that it should be considered like a Yerusha. And if it's considered like a Yerusha, an inheritance is not contingent on any circumstances. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, lezaracha nosati isoretz. This is given to you as a gift. And we just finished learning that a noisen matana, if you're given a gift, then yofu noisen, you need not be concerned. This will remain Klal Yisrael. Etz Yisrael will remain Klal Yisrael forever. Says the Mishnah Maichas Abayis, if somebody sells a home. And now the question is, what is included in the sale and what is not included in the sale? Machas Adelis, the door, which is part of the home, is included in the sale. Avaloy Es Mafteach, not the key. The key is not firmly in the home. Hamachteshes Kvua, if there's a grinder which is connected to the ground, it's included in the sale, but not one that's portable. Mocha es etzdabul avloyes akelas. There are many different pshatim in this. Some explain that stubble is the bottom of the grinder, and some explain that the grinder, as we've discussed in previous shiurim, is the upper part of the grinder, and is the lower. There were two stones, one on the bottom, one on the top, and it's the lowest stone. The kelis says, again, it's part of the grinder. Either it's the part that is where you pour the wheat in to be ground, and that's something that's movable. Or if we speak about the stones, as we just did a moment ago, the stone, it's the upper stone, which is movable, not the lower stone, which is not movable. Macher as a stabuva of loyas akelas, loyas atan of loyas akrayim, because both these types of ovens are not connected to the ground. However, says the Mishnah, b'zman she'amaloi, if the seller said to the buyer, "Hu v'chamash b'taychoi, I'm selling you everything that's in the home." So again, as we often discuss in our shiurim, by having used these extra words, then the halacha is harei kol mechurim, everything is included in the sale. Says the Gemara, so we suggest that our Mishnah, that a movable machteshes is not included in the sale, doesn't follow the opinion of Rameya. Dear Rameya, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rameya, Hamar machas a kerem, if somebody sold a vineyard without identifying what is or isn't included in the sale, machat hashmisha kerem, all of the poles and the sticks that are needed to keep a vineyard using, because the grapevines are not that strong. So the sticks, the poles they used to have to keep it up, are included. So our Mishnah, so that's the Tashmishi Akarim. And here we see that Rameya holds that the Tashmishi Akarim are included. Our Mishnah says that the Tashmishi Abayis are not included. Says the Gemara, no. I feel the time Rameya. Our Mishnah can follow the opinion of Rameya. Hossam, there we're speaking about the poles that are connected to the trees. And since they're connected to the trees, the kviya. And I saw that, and the Rashbam explains, kviya doesn't mean that they're actually physically connected to the trees. As long as they're left there all of the time, that's enough to make them considered kviya. Hacha, what's not included in the sale of our Mishnah, are things that are not in kliya, that are not kviya, that are not there all of the time. Ask the Gemara, v'mafteach tumi d'dalas k'tani. The Mishnah spoke about moch as a dalas, avloi mo as a mafteach. So the Mishnah is saying that the key is not included in the sale. Ma dalas the kviya. So if the Mishnah speaks about the dalas and the mafteach together, isn't it speaking about a mafteach that kvua, that's there all the time? And yet, since it's not considered a fundamental part of the house, it's not included in the sale. So it must be, al machvarta, we have no other option but to recognize the masnis of the like Rabbi Kiva. Tarabana machas abayas, machas adelas, the doors included, the sanagar, that they used to have some sort of a bolt that was connected to the door, which was obviously there all the time. It was hamanol, the lock that's in the doorway, that's there all the time. Avlayos mafteach, but not the key. Machas mateshes chakuka, if he sold a grinder that's firmly in the home, that's included. Veloy mekvu, but if it's a portable mafteshes, it's not included. Machal abul, we explained this in the Mishnah, avlayos akelas. Loy asatan avlayos urchayim, avlayos urchayim, says the Gemara, Rabbi Leza Omer, call him mechubel karka. Anything that's connected to the ground, harayku karka, it's considered like karka, and it's included in the sale of the home. Says the Mishnah further, says the Brisa further. However, when the seller said to the buyer, "Bezman shamaloi hu v'chomash v'toychay," it, the house, and everything that's in the house, harayku mechulam, everything is included. However, as we learned at the first Mishnah of our Perek, Ben kach, loyasabar, loymach, loyasabar, loyasados, loyasitzia, the different types of pits, the different separate rooms, they're not considered part of the home. And since they're not considered part of the home, they're not included in the sale. Now, since we just discussed about things that are considered connected, or things that are not considered connected, the Mishnah, the Gemara now is going to quote, we're going to begin learning a sugya about Hilchas Mekvos. The halacha is that Mayim Shuvim, drawn water, a pasal a mikvah, disqualify a mikvah. What that means is that if you have a kosher mikvah is mem saw, 40 saw. Once you have 40 saw, the halacha is, even if you put maim shuvim, it won't passel the mikveh, it won't disqualify the mikveh. But if you have not yet accumulated 40 saw of water that can be used for a mikveh, and then water, if you have not yet accumulated that amount of water, and then shloisha lugim, a maim shuvim fall into that mikveh, that disqualifies it. But as I said a moment ago, if you have maim 40 saw of maim sherim, of kosher water, and then maim shuvim are taken out, fall in, the mikveh is still kosher. There is a big discussion, which will be more relevant to our next year, is if you started with 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, and then you put in maim shuvim, and you put in a saw maim shuvim, and you take out a saw, and you continue doing so, if you do this 19 times, the halacha is that the mikveh is possible, it's only possible midrabanan. So if water flows through a pipe, the halacha is that water is maim shuvim. But our braisa begins to discuss tana rabanan, sinner, you have a pipe, shechakaku, that you carved out the pipe, ulpsoif kavai, and then you attached it to the ground. And now the water that's going into your mikveh is flowing through that pipe. Is it considered maim shuvim or not? So the halacha is poisel. So mikveh, it passes the mikveh, it's considered maim shuvim. Because it was a keli before you attached it to the ground. However, if you had it the other way around, kavoy ulupsoif chakkoi, first you take a piece of wood, a piece of stone, and you attach it to the ground. And then afterwards you make it into a pipe, ain't a poisel some mikveh. It doesn't pass the mikveh because it wasn't a keli when you had it that way. It only became a keli later, and therefore, and at that point it was already connected to the ground, so it's not considered maim shuvim, and it will not disqualify the mikveh. So ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Says the Gemara, it seems, of this Braisa. It seems, Loi Rebbe Lezer v'loi Rabbonin. So says the Gemara, which Rebbe Lezer are we speaking about? Ilam Rebbe Lezer the Bais, that we just said that Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that as long as something is attached to the ground, it's included in the sale of the house, even though it only became attached to the ground after it was first a keli. So we see that the only thing that counts, it seems, according to Rebbe Lezer, is that if it's attached to the ground. So from here we should see that if it's attached to the ground, that as long as the pipe is attached to the ground, it should not be considered maim shuvim. Says the Gemara, Dilma, the explanation of Rebbe Lezer and our Mishnah suggests the Gemara has nothing to do with the explanation of Rebbe Lezer and our Gemara and the halacha that we speak about mikveh are two different halachas. And that's why, as long as it's attached at this point to the house, even though it was a keli before it was attached, says that I certainly sell generously and I include it in the sale. Savri, the opinion of the Rabbanu will be and therefore it's not included. But if that's the case, it has nothing to do with the question of what is maim shuvim or what is not maim shuvim. Many people on Shavuos, many Rabbonim, say a drasha, a pilpul, on first day, second day Rosh Hashanah. One year, the Chakal Yitzchak was saying a drasha, and the subject of his drasha was our Gemara, the sugya of Tzina Shechakakoi ulipsoif kavoi, paisel is a mikveh, kavoi ulipsoif chakakoi and a paisel. So he said that what does this Gemara mean to teach us? If a person chakakoi, if a person carves himself out, if a person prepares himself to be an individual to be able to receive the Torah, and then afterwards he receives the Torah, then that's going to be the right way. Chokkoi, way we're supposed to act is first carve ourselves out, ready to receive the Torah, ready to receive Eretz Yisrael. And then Lupsoif Kavoy, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us from Heir B'Yemeinu with Mashiach Eretz Yisrael, it will be something that will remain firm. But if Kavoy, if we think that the way to do it is first, that first we should have Eretz Yisrael, and only afterwards Lupsoif Chakakoy, and then we'll make ourselves ready, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's possible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is that we should prepare ourselves first to receive Mashiach Tzidkenu, that he could be able to bring it from Heir B'Yameinu.